Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, May 16th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed this morning. July corn futures up 1.25 at 463.75. July soybeans down 1 at 12.12.5. July Chicago wheat up 12.75 at 678.5. July Kansas City wheat up 13.5 at 688.5. July spring wheat up 10.75 at 637.75. Let's start off with the corn market.
The December corn contract has been unable to break through the $5 per bushel mark. Hedge pressure has likely capped price action in recent days. Commercial sources note increased farmer sales of both old and new crop bushels despite the ongoing planting campaign. Despite a massive short covering effort, fund traders were estimated to hold a net short of 80,000 contracts at yesterday's close. Forthcoming price action is likely to hinge on planting progress during the next 2 weeks.
What I've heard from sources in the commercial grain business is that despite this time of year, you know, this time of year planting is often associated with slower farmer selling, slower farmer interest, just because guys are busy. But people are not ignoring the prices. You've seen a big jump in old crop prices, big jump in new crop prices. I know that basis has backed off in some areas because of the board rally partially. The cash market hasn't maybe rallied as much as the futures market. But yeah, there's absolutely some farmer selling here. I think these corn can bust through the $5 mark pretty easily. You just get the right or wrong weather forecast and you'll be up there. And if you get up there, is there a wall of selling at $5 and just above $5? Yeah, there may be, but this will be a function of weather. Everything that happens in the market will continue to be a function of weather, really, the corn market, especially through like the mid part of July.
Early morning rain fell over parts of Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. A stronger system works through eastern Oklahoma, eastern Kansas, and Missouri. Totals through 11 p.m. Central Time yesterday appear to be light, although past precipitation data is often inaccurate. This morning's Euro model continues to indicate that more widespread Corn Belt rain will appear early next week. The four-day Euro maps offer minimal rainfall for most of the region, while the seven-day maps are much better. Many farmers will attempt to plant crops ahead of next week's rain event. Delays are very likely to continue in many areas.
I got a bunch of hate mail in the middle of the night last night because it rained yesterday. It rained yesterday afternoon until last night. But Joe, you said it was going to be dry for 5 days. Well, the map said it was going to be dry-ish for 5 days. And I don't know that these totals were huge. I know there were some pockets that caught an inch of rain. You look at central Indiana. You look at parts of Ohio, the North Dakota, Minnesota border. Guys, I don't like invent these weather maps in my office. Like, this is the Euro model that everybody uses. And they're wrong all the time. Weather forecasts are always wrong 100% of the time. It's just a question of how wrong are they. So yeah, they missed this rain event a little bit, but the broader theme remains intact that things are going to be mostly, not entirely dry for the next, call it 4 days. I did the 4 day map and then I did the 7 day maps here. So you can see there's a big difference. Like, this is the next 7 days for the Corn Belt and it's quite a bit wetter than the next 4 days. So most of this rain that's going to return is going to be early next week, depending on your location. This Euro looks like they even dialed back some of the amounts. But again, the weather maps are always wrong, guys.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about yesterday's video with Matt Bennett?
Matt Bennett and I discussed this topic. Is trend corn yield off the table? And it was as it relates to late planting. We looked at a bunch of different things. We looked at some of the university stuff. We looked at some past data regarding final yield outcomes and late planting years. Matt kind of gave his thoughts on the whole situation as a farmer, what he's seeing in the country, what farmers in other areas of the Corn Belt are saying. Sunday night will be our first pre-open weather update of the year. We do this for about 8 weeks in the summer. Pete Meyer is going to be doing them every single Sunday night. We're going to have a video blasted out at 6 p.m. Central Time before the open. Pete's going to run through his thoughts on the weather, what happened over the weekend, the forecast. What does it mean for the market? These have always been, ever since I've been doing this, these have always been the most popular videos that we do because people are extremely interested during the heart of the growing season in What's happened with the weather? Was there a shift in the model? Is the market going to open sharply higher or sharply lower? This is going to be must watch stuff come Sunday night. So make sure you guys are signed up. The premium subscription is $50 per month. You can go to standardgrain.com and sign up this morning. It's a cancel anytime deal. There's no other fee. There's no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. We don't want your futures business. We don't want to market your grain for you. We just send you out a bunch of information. I send you out my cash grain recommendations, and you can follow them. You cannot follow them. Do whatever you want. But check that deal out this morning, guys.
NOPA released April crush data yesterday. The U.S. soybean crush fell to a seven-month low last month when NOPA members processed 166.03 million bushels. The crush was down 15.5% from March and down 4.2% from April of last year. The crush was well below the average trade estimate of 183.07 million bushels. End of month, soybean oil stocks in April declined to 1.75 billion pounds. Stocks fell below the average trade estimate of 1.88 billion pounds and were down 5.2% from the end of March. The reduction marks the first time stocks have declined since October.
It's very, very rare to see the trade miss the mark on the soybean crush number by this much. Usually they're within a couple million bushels, and they weren't even close this time. There was some plant maintenance last month. There's maybe some issues with the Reuters article cited used cooking oil again as being a cheaper alternative to soybean oil. There is a seasonal trend for soybean crush to kind of move lower this time of year. This was just a lot worse than what was expected. That being said, despite this miss, we are still very much on track to meet or perhaps even exceed USDA's target for crush demand or soybean demand via crush. So it's still not a bad deal, but just not a good month.
U.S. ethanol production increased last week. Weekly output of 1 million barrels was up 3.6% on the week and also up 3.6% versus the same week last year. Ethanol stocks were pegged at 24.5 million barrels. The print was up 1.2% compared to the previous week and up 5.1% compared to the same week last year. Implied gasoline demand was up slightly compared to the previous week, but down 4.6% versus the same week last year. On average, over the last 4 weeks, implied U.S. gasoline demand is down 3.4% versus the same period last year.
Ethanol production is good. We're running 4%-ish above last year's pace. I don't know if USDA was totally justified in raising its corn demand via ethanol number last week. So USDA is now projecting a 5.3% increase in ethanol production versus last year, where the pace is only 4% above last year. If we don't improve, they may have to walk that back, which is not something USDA does all the time. But I hope we see improved production numbers.
USDA reported a flash sale of soybeans on Wednesday. U.S. exporters sold 7 million bushels of soybeans to unknown destinations. Of the total, 4 million bushels are for delivery during the current marketing year, and about 2 million bushels are for delivery during the next marketing year.
China still has no official purchases of new crop U.S. soybeans on the books. Maybe that's the first one. Hopefully that's the first one. We as many issues as we have with China, we really need China to buy beans. So we hope that this is China getting started.
It appears that inflation slowed last month. The CPI rose 0.3% in April compared to the prior month. Economists were projecting a 0.4% increase. On an annual basis, inflation climbed 3.4%, down from 3.5% in March and in line with expectations. The stock market reacted positively to the report. The S&P 500 gained 1.2%, the NASDAQ climbed 1.4%, and the Dow Jones increased 1%. Earlier this week, Fed Chair Jerome Powell reiterated that rates will likely need to remain higher for longer than originally anticipated. The markets are anticipating that the Fed will cut rates in September and then again in December.
Yeah, Powell says higher for longer, but the markets, the Treasury markets, increased the odds, essentially the implied odds of a September rate cut to 71%. I think it was 67-ish prior to this release. So 3.4 is not—that's not where the Fed wants it to be. I know that they look at other things. That core PCE in particular is one of their favorite gauges. But this 3.4 is not two. And it's really not even close to two. And we've kind of flatlined here over the last several months. The index itself, I did this for PPI yesterday. I'll do it for CPI today. The index is at an all-time high. So the prices paid by urban consumers for a market basket of consumer goods and services is as expensive or more expensive than it's ever been. So again, if people tell you inflation is declining, The rate of inflation is perhaps easing just a little bit, but we've still got inflation and things, again, things never get cheaper for the most part. Things always just continue to get more expensive. It's just at what rate.
U.S. consumer spending stalled last month. Retail sales were flat in April, down from a 0.6% monthly increase in March. Economists were expecting sales to increase by 0.4%. The largest rise in spending last month was at gas stations, where sales increased 3.1%. The uptick in spending, however, was likely due to an increase in gasoline prices. Yesterday's retail sales print is the latest economic data indicating that the economy is softening. Economists believe the decline in spending leaves the door open for the Fed to cut rates in September.
A couple analysts quoted in the Yahoo Finance piece here. One of them from Wells Fargo said this: the fact that retail sales stalled in April is not necessarily a sign the consumer is spent, but for once, at least, it does not show continued evidence of an unstoppable consumer. So no, the consumer is not unstoppable. As it relates to rate cuts, another analyst said the weak retail sales in April further lends support to a September rate cut. So I don't know, no matter what Jerome Powell says, everybody seems to think that this rate cut is happening in September. What did cattle do yesterday?
They were slightly higher. Feeders were an average of 47 cents higher. Live cattle were an average of 26 cents higher. Box beef continued its climb higher. Choice end of the day at 306.77. That was up 238. Select end of the day at 294.31. That was up 49 cents.
Outside markets pretty quiet this morning. U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks are about flat. I believe that was a record high close in the S&P yesterday. Bonds are up just a little bit. Crude oil is down 30 points or 30 cents rather in the June WTI at 78.33. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you on Friday.